Now then, if you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me over to the book of Acts tonight. And I want to read some from over in the book of Acts, over in the third chapter. Now every night God has blessed us. We've come together and God has blessed us.
Yes, amen.
And I felt the anointing of God and I felt the yoke of Satan break night after night. I felt the glory of God come down here in this place. And I believe that He'll bless us tonight just as He has the other nights gone by. I believe that He'll be with us tonight just as He's been being with us. And if we'll get our minds and hearts right in the Spirit and right on the Word,
yes,
God will do something for us.
Amen.
Our brother stayed here last night all night long until about 5 or 6 o'clock this morning. He stayed here talking to Jesus Christ about this service and about the things of God. You know, the Bible said Jesus would go away into a mountain and He would pray all night long. That believes in the old-time experience that God gave way back under Pentecost and the experience that the prophets had in the days of Elijah and all of those wonderful saints of old like Moses in the days of the years gone by.
Thank you, Lord.
I believe in it. So the brother stayed here all night long praying for our service till about 6 o'clock this morning. And as he was talking, I could feel the Spirit of the Lord present. Couldn't you? We've got men here. Brother Taylor here has been known to stay all night long on his knees in the rain talking to God. That's right. All night long down by the river in the rain talking with God with his knees buried in the sand. Brother Gray has been known to stay on his knees as high as 12 hours without getting up talking to God. Fast 25, 30, 40 days at a time. I thank God because we've got people that believe in the old-time way of life.
Yes.
People that love God. And when you have people like that, then it's no trouble to be able to bring healing and salvation to people.
Hallelujah.
Because God is a living reality.
Amen.
Brother Frank Taylor, I've seen him go many days without food, fasting, and seeking God. And I believe that he loves the Lord. How many of you love the Lord tonight? Let me see your hand.
Amen.
You know, Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, and He wants to prove Himself alive just like He did in the there in the New Testament days when the Bible said by many infallible proofs that He proved Himself to be alive and resurrected from the dead. You know, the people today, along with Satan, would love to try to convince us, Brother Ben, that Jesus never was resurrected from the dead. But you know, we've done come too far along for them to tell us that now. We've done seen His healing. We've done seen His salvation. We've done had Him to meet our needs out along the roads, in the deserts and in the mountains and wherever we were at. And now it's too late to come and tell us that He isn't resurrected from the dead, because He is.
Thank the Lord.
For many years we've carried the gospel. I have been in some very tight places, but Jesus always came to our rescue. I didn't stay here at the church last night. I hope that others entered into prayer with the brother. I didn't stay here, and I guess he was alone unless somebody came in after I left, by himself. He was by himself. Jesus said, I'm alone, and yet I'm not alone, for the Father's with me. And I believe the Father was with him last night. Well, I didn't go home and forget about it. I went home, and I entered into prayer with him in my living room. And I stayed there till about 5 o'clock this morning talking with Jesus, even though I'll have to confess that it was kind of like turning a light on and off because I went in and out. I just couldn't help it, but anyway, I made an effort. I tried to do my best to work for God. And I just couldn't picture our brother being up here by himself, you know, and not offering some kind of assistance or some kind of strength when he was so interested in seeing God move in the service. So I thank God for him, and I hope that my feeble prayers and efforts were heard last night as I tried to talk with Jesus. All right, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts with me. Now I'll try not to weary your patience tonight, hold you too long, but I want you to give the more earnest heed to the things that you hear, lest you let them slip after you get away. And God, I'm sure, will give us something tonight. In the book of Acts, in the third chapter, in the 21st verse, it says, whom the heavens, might better back up to the 20th verse so you understand it a little better, even to the 19th verse. It wouldn't hurt, I don't guess. It says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Amen. Now then, if you notice here, he says in the 21st verse that the heavens have received Christ until the time of the restitution of all things. Now, this was Peter speaking over here at Pentecost, and he said there'd be a restitution in the latter times of all things. Did he say that? All right, let's look over here in the book of Jeremiah, in the 30th verse, or 30th chapter it is. I want to read just a little bit here. He says, in the 10th verse, therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord. Neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee. Yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. For thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. All thy lovers have forsaken thee. They seek thee not. For I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one. For the multitude of thine iniquities, because thy sins were increased. Why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable. For the multitude of thine iniquities, because thy sins were increased. I have done these things unto thee. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity, and they that spoil thee shall be spoiled, and all they that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling place, and the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me. And I will punish all that oppress them, and their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governors shall proceed from the midst of them. And I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord? And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. And that's reading quite a bit here tonight. But I want you to especially notice in Acts, in the 3rd chapter, the 21st verse, he said, "And the heavens must receive Christ until the time of the restoring of the restitution of all things." And then he says here in the 17th verse of Jeremiah in the 30th chapter, "I will restore. I will restore." I want you to notice that now. He said in the 3rd chapter of Acts, he said, "Until the time of the restoring or the time of the restitution of all things." And then he says in the book of Jeremiah, he said, "And I will restore, saith the Lord." He said in one place, he said, "I will restore that the canker worm has eaten, the years that the locusts have consumed, and that which the pommel worm has did destroy it." He said, "I will restore, saith the Lord." Right. And I believe with all of my heart that God is the power of restoration, because He is the Spirit of life. And even though I know that in the world today that Satan is moving in on every hand and the powers of darkness is beginning to cover the world, yet in spite of all of this, God promised that He would restore. And I believe with all of my heart that God will restore. When He said to Peter in the Acts of the Apostles that it would be in the time of the restitution of all things, we know that generally speaking, He is talking about the 1,000 years millennium reign that's out yonder in the future that is to come, when God will restore everything and bring it back to its original garden-like appearance as it was back there in the days of Adam. In the time of the restitution of all things, He said, "I will restore, saith the Lord." And the 1,000 years millennium is just out yonder ahead of us, where God is going to bring this great power of restitution, and we're going to enter into the joys of God. But I believe that even before the millennium, that God is in the restoring business.
Yes,
I believe that even now, God, as He said in the book of Jeremiah, He said, "And I will restore thy health, saith the Lord."
Hallelujah.
"I will restore, saith the Lord." I believe that in the hour in which we're living, that God is willing to restore our health and give us peace of mind.
Amen.
And give us the blessings that we're so much in need of in this day.
Amen.
And so then He said in the 17th verse, "I will restore thy health." I tell you, if there ever was a time in the history of the world when people need God to restore health, it's in the day that we're living in. The hospitals are literally overrun around the world, and the insane asylums are continually filling up till the people don't know what to do with those that are going insane anymore. It's a time of darkness. Jesus spoke of a great hour of darkness. A time of trouble, He said, such as the world has never known, such as the world has never seen, He said, never was before this hour and shall never be again. This is an hour of darkness. He said, when gross darkness shall cover the people, and in the hour that we're living in, the satanic forces of darkness are sweeping over the world, and it's literally covering the people up. And health is being taken away from them. Sanity is being taken away from them. Peace is being taken away from them. And trouble and heartaches is coming in. Jesus said, when you see all of these things come to pass, He said, this is the beginning of sorrows. He said, when you see these things, this is the beginning of sorrows. This is the starting of sorrows. And He told us, He said, and in that hour shall be great tribulation, such as the world has never known. And in this hour, we see the great tribulation as it begins to set in. And Jesus said here in the midst of all of it, He said to those that are sick, those that are suffering, those that have a cancer in their body tonight, those that have sickness in their body tonight, He said, "I will restore thy health, saith the Lord."
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm glad tonight that I'm serving the God of restoration. I'm glad tonight that God is on my side. Hallelujah.
Amen.
and that I could have the restoration of my health when the devil creeps in the robber and in the thief to take away that which God has given unto me. I'm glad that I've got a power that is nigh at hand where I can just look to it and say, God, help me, and God will come on the scene and there's nothing for me.
Amen.
I will restore, saith the Lord. Now then, I know that we get down into a valley. We get down into a place to where we feel that God can't do anything for us. We get cast down. We fail to pray. We fail to fast. We fail to seek the face of God. Fail to call upon the name of Jesus Christ. And we get down in the valley. And we feel that God can't do anything for us. But I've got news for you tonight. Friend, if you'll call upon the name of Jesus, the Bible said, I will restore. He said when he appeared on the hillside, the angel said, peace on earth. He said, in goodwill toward man. And he said, peace on earth and goodwill toward man.
Amen.
Somebody said, I wonder how God feels about me. He said, goodwill toward man. We've got our goodwill from God tonight toward man. The Bible said we have peace from God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. By the faith that we have in His Son tonight. We've got peace with God. And the angel said, peace on earth. We've got peace with God. He said, goodwill toward man.
Yes.
The man came to Jesus and he said, good master. He said, thou canst make me whole if you will.
Uh-huh.
He said, I will leave thee made whole.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He said, you can do it if you will. He said, I've already willed it.
Amen.
I've already said peace on earth and goodwill toward man. Then he came, he stood and he said, I come in the volume of the book. As it is written of me, O God, to do thy will. I come to do thy will. You say, I would love to know, Brother Pike, what the will of God really is in my life. You can know by reading the word.
Right.
He said, I come in the volume of the book as it is written of me, O God, to do thy will. What is his will? I come as it is written of me in the volume of the book to do thy will, Lord. You say, what did he do? The Bible said he went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil.
Amen.
I come to do thy will. What was his will? Went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil. That's the will of God toward man. A good will toward man.
Amen.
I will restore my health, saith the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. What is his will? I come in the volume of the book as it is written of me, O God, to do thy will. What did he do? He healed the sick. He opened the blind eyes. He made the lame to walk again. He said to the crippled, get up, take up thy bed and walk. Hallelujah. What was it? It was the will of God manifested in human flesh. Somebody said, I wonder what he would love to do to me. Let me say this. That if God put in human flesh in its fullness his Holy Spirit and not only healed the body of Jesus, but kept it healthy and whole and gave him power over every unclean spirit in the
land,
but he even gave him power to demonstrate to heal other sick bodies. If he would do that in that body, I'm sure that in my body, he would at least give me a little bit of healing, don't you think so?
Amen.
If he would put health in its fullness in the body of Jesus, if he would put healing in its fullness in the body of Jesus, if that was his will,
amen.
And not only that, but fill Jesus up like a cup. And David said, my cup runneth full. Fill Jesus up till he run over. And as he walked up and down the streets, the lame was healed, the blind was healed, the sick in every way was healed. If he filled him up to the overflowing, I'm sure that he could give me enough to heal a disease in my
life. Amen.
This was God's will within the flesh. That's what it was. It was God's will within the flesh. Lo, I come in the volume of the book, O God, and it is written of me to do thy will. What will? To do the will, peace on earth and goodwill toward man.
Amen.
How many of you know that he was the Prince of Peace? I sat here the other night when he was on the little boat, and all the powers of Satan entered into the storm, and the little boat was tossed to and fro, and the waves was just dashing against the boat. Jesus stepped out when they had lost all of their faith. He looked up and he said, "Peace, be still."
Right.
Hallelujah. Peace, be still. Why? Because he was the Prince of Peace. God sends us the rain. God sends us the gentle breeze, the wind to blow upon us. God sends us the sunshine. But he doesn't send us the power of the confusion to destroy it and tear down the squirrel. He doesn't send tornadoes. He doesn't send these terrible things that's sweeping across the world. But the powers of Satan gets into the breeze of God and into the winds of God. And the powers of darkness get into the fire, and it begins to cause a great turmoil, and it sweeps across the nation and causes it to become desolate and terror and destruction with it wherever it goes. Somebody said, "Brother Pike, do you really believe that? That's Bible. Could you imagine me standing here looking at a tornado and it comes sweeping down in my home, my little children there, and God standing over here beyond the tornado saying, 'Goodwill to thee, my son. Goodwill to thee, my son.' And all the time he's saying goodwill to me, that thing is coming to tear me all to pieces, tear my children all to pieces, destroy everything that he's given me in this world." You couldn't imagine that, could you? God's kingdom is not divided.
Amen.
Jesus said a divided kingdom cannot stand. Every good and perfect gift comes down from God, Amen. The Father of life, in whom there is no variableness, nor shadow, nor portal turning. Hallelujah. And so then God, he doesn't cause the storms. That's why the Son of God, he wasn't divided against his Father. He was God made manifest in the flesh. He stood out there on the bow of the boat. Do you think he rebuked his Father? He said, "I do always the things that please the Father. I do always the things I see the Father do." If that was the Father causing the storm, then why didn't Jesus do what the Father was doing? You know why? It wasn't the Father. It was the powers of confusion. The little ship had set out on a voyage. You say, why did God suffer to be like that, Brother Pike? I said here the other night, the only way that God could manifest his attributes to where we could see what he is and what his life is was to have that opposing power of darkness out there. Even though God is a healer, how can God prove to you that he's a healer and cause you to give glory to him as a healer when he hasn't got anything to heal us from? So then there had to be a disease to where it could heal us from, that he might reveal his strength and his attributes and his blessings, that we might see what God really is and worship God and know his strength. How could we ever rejoice in life and thank God for life if we didn't know what life was, if we've never seen darkness, never been exposed to the darkness? How could we give glory unto God for life? How could I rejoice over sweet when I'd never tasted bitter and did not know the contrast and did not understand the contrast of bitter and sweet? How could I thank God for the taste of sweet when I never had the contrast to even know what sweet was? The only way sweet can be revealed to the taste is through bitter. You say, "Brother Pike, what do you mean?" Did you know that when Adam was in the garden, that when God came to Adam, God could have said, "Adam, I am thy master. I made thee." Adam could have looked that back and he could have said, "God, who are you kidding? Who do you think you're kidding? How do you know I ain't your master? What proof have you got that you made me?" Now you say, "Well, he do a thing like that while they're doing it today." There's men today that you can't convince them that God made them.
Right.
They think we come from a tadpole. That's right. They've done, in their little finite way of living, they've done convinced themselves that we come from a tadpole. That's right.
Right.
He could have come to Adam and he could have said, "Adam, I've made you and you're to worship me." Adam could have said, "Oh, there ain't nothing to that. Well, I had a good even look back and said, well, I made you, you ought to be worshiping me. That's right. But you know what? God subjected him to sorrow. He subjected him to sin. The Bible said God created the good and God created the evil, and God had his way in both. You know what? You say, well, Brother Fike, why was it that God repented? After that he made man back in, why did he repent over it? Did you know that God's thoughts are creative? God's thoughts are creative. And when God alone in the universe, God the fountain of eternal existence, with no one to praise him, no one to tell him of his greatness, no one to give glory unto him, just the self-existent, everlasting, overflowing fountain of goodness and joy. There in the vast universe, he wasn't even known as God. Because God means object of worship, and men never even put the tag God on him. I know there's a lot of gods in this world, Confucius and Balaam and the Muslim God, every other kind of God. But then when God created the angels and when God created mankind, he became God because he had created something to worship him, and that made him God. So then, God, the eternal fountain of self-existence, the overflowing peace and joy from everlasting to everlasting, that great God, the great self-existent one, upon whom all the world rested and depended. That great God helped you to begin. As he began to think how that he could share himself and build a great kingdom, to share himself, to reproduce himself. Just like with my wife and I, we reproduce my image. My seed is reproduced in the earth. That's why God made man and woman, to be a type of what he was doing. God, the great self-existent one, wanted to reproduce himself. That's right. And so then, in thinking these thoughts, in considering these things, God's thoughts are created. You say, Brother Pike, can you prove it? Peter said, ye are elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Brother, when he first thought of you as a Christian, you become eternally saved. You say that you believe in eternal security. I sure do. Peter said you are elect according to the foreknowledge of God. For them that he foreknew, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. And he said, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, and sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus on the tree. Paul waxed bold and said, I am persuaded to believe that God is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against the great day. He said, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. Famine can't do it. Pestilence can't do it. Sorrows can't do it. Things to come, things in the past, Satan, he can't do it. Somebody said, well, I just believe Satan can do it. Well, you got the wrong kind of believing. If you believe that Satan can overthrow you, you don't have proper confidence in God. That's right. Satan cannot overthrow a son of God. He's born of God, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. That's why Jesus said, I have called ye gods. So then God, in the beginning, when he began to think these things, he thought of a great kingdom, he thought of a great people, he thought of a body of angels, he thought of everything that he'd have to do to reproduce. And when he did, it became existent. As he began to think on it, it became existent. God turned when he saw all the wickedness of men, as he thought it into existence, and he saw the crying of the mothers. He saw the sorrow and heartaches of the dead. He saw the wrecks on the highways and the plane crashes and the wars and the tornadoes. The Bible said when God saw these things, then he turned and repented over these things. But he could not destroy the good because he had also seen good, and he couldn't destroy the good to get rid of the evil. For when he saw the tornadoes and he saw the turmoils and he saw the sinners and the murderers and the prostitutes. He also saw the sons of God leaping for joy and praising God. He said, Job, where was you before the morning stars sang together when the sons of God leaped for joy? Hallelujah. He said, where was you? You know that back yonder in the foundation of the world, he saw you and I out here in this day shouting and praising God. All of this rejoicing going on. John said, now, beloved, are ye the sons of God? Do you know that down through the telescope of time, he saw it every bit. And the Bible said that the sons of God were leaping for joy, but the sons of Satan came also. They come in our midst just like we give an account to God. They have to give an account. And so down through the telescope of time, he looked down, and the Bible said the Lamb which was slain from the foundation of the world, which was also Jesus Christ, in the foreknowledge of God, in his knowledge he slew the Lamb. In his knowledge, he elected and predestinated us according to what he saw we would do, and according to the desires of our heart. And then when he sent forth a preacher in this last day, they come along and they preach the word of faith. And somebody said, I believe it. Somebody said, I don't believe it. God said, this one that believed is the one Paul said that was ordained unto eternal life. He said, and as many as were ordained unto eternal life, he said, they believed when he preached the gospel. And Jude said, these men that rejected it were before all ordained unto condemnation. He said, let it be to whosoever will, but he knew who would and who would not. He knew if you'd live for God 5 years and turn away. He saw you doing the 5 years you lived for God and the 5 years falling when you didn't. He saw that too.
Amen.
And if you come back to him 5 years later, he saw that too.
Right.
And if you live every day of it till the last day and then fell away, he saw that too.
Right.
And the Bible said he elected us according to foreknowledge.
Amen.
Right. You say, can that be, Brother Pike? I tell you what, if you'll read in the book of Revelation, you'll find out that though it hasn't come to pass yet, except in the mind of God, that he said there's a great multitude out yonder, John. Where was the great multitude at? It ain't come to pass yet.
Right.
We haven't got down there yet. But he said, see right out yonder, John, that's where we're heading. There's a great multitude that no man can't number.
Right.
But he didn't say God couldn't number them. He said, every hair on your head's numbered. I believe you knew every one of them by name.
Amen.
And he said, on Mount Zion, there's 144,000 that have their father's name in their forehead standing over there. Said, see them, John? Said, they got their hearts and they sang the songs of Moses.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We got that much foreknowledge because he told it to us.
Amen.
I know that's coming to pass. I believe I was over there in that great multitude. I believe they saw me. Hallelujah, the great multitude. There was 144,000 out there, which was the first fruits that was redeemed from among them, the Bible said. These were undefiled by women, or that is, by churches and things of that nature. 144,000. You say, Brother Pike, is that all the Jews that's going to be saved? There will be others saved, but they'll have to get in the great multitude. Hallelujah. He said they were of nations, kindreds, and tongues. So then, we see here that God thought these things into existence. And then as he looked at the bad, he repented. But he couldn't destroy it for the good. How many of you know that when God came down, the three angels visited Abraham? How many of you know that when Abraham went to God and he spoke to him about Sodom and Gomorrah, what did he say to him? He said, Lord, there be so many in the city. So many in this city, will you spare it just to measly few? Said, will you spare it? He said, Lord, it's not like thee to destroy the good with the evil. So then when God looked down through the telescope of time and he saw the good, he saw us preaching the word, he saw us praising God, he saw people repenting of their sins, people being saved. God could not turn around and destroy everything that he created by his foreknowledge. So what did he do? It repented him that he made man when he saw this. But yet he had to go ahead and say, let it come to pass. He walked out and said, let it come to pass. Let it come to pass. And so it's been coming to pass ever since. And we're preaching the word and telling you here tonight that he said, I will restore everything to the prince of the power of the air is destroyed. Satan is the prince of the powers that's in the air. Oh, that means he rules over the powers that's in the air. And the Bible says that the children of disobedience are taken into captivity at the will of Satan whenever he desires. He's the ruler. That's why we've got these atomic powers. He's the prince over these powers, the atoms and the different things in the air. Jesus said he's the prince of this world. He said that. He's the ruler of darkness. Gross darkness shall cover the people. That is the carnal mind of religious ideology and religious theology and scientific reasoning, he says, shall cover the world and dominate the world. That's the hour in which we live. I will restore, saith the Lord. I will restore. That's what he said. I will restore. I believe that he's doing it. People that are blind are beginning to see, spiritually and naturally. That's right. People who are lame. How do you know the Bible says Satan is a thief and a robber?
Man.
He comes to rob you of your health. He comes to rob you of your sanity. He comes to rob you of your children. He comes through a tornado to rob you of your home. Sure he does. He's a thief and a robber. But Jesus said, I will restore. Out yonder the millennium, he said, you'll build your own house. Another man won't take it away from you because of the taxes and because you're behind in the payment. He said, every man shall sit under his own fig tree. Thou shalt build, and another man shall not inhabit. When the curse is lifted, the cow will give enough milk for the whole community. That's Bible. And nothing shall harm in all of my holy mountain, saith the Lord. The little children shall sit down with the cockatrice. That's right. Right over the hole of the cockatrice, but they won't bother them. And the Bible said the lion and the ox, the bullocks, will eat straw together. They won't be bloodthirsty. What is it? Because God said, I will restore. Folks, we're living in the greatest age that's ever come to pass in the history of the world. Why, we're the most unconcerned body of people that's ever been on the face of the earth about religion.
Amen.
He said, a sinful and adulterous generation. And yet we're living in the greatest age that there has ever been.
That's
he said, many wise men desire to see what you see. And they never saw it. Many righteous men desire to enter into it. He said, other men labored and you've entered into their labors. That's why he said the harvest is ripe.
Amen.
The harvest is ripe. I will restore, saith the Lord. I believe tonight that we need a restoration in the church. I think the first thing that we need is a restoration of Pentecost in the church.
Amen.
Did you notice down here he made the statement? He said, and their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governors shall come from the midst of them. Did you know that it's a fact, according to a survey, according to my understanding, that we've got more Pentecostal people in the government today than had in the history of the world. Why? He said, their governors shall come from the midst of them. I know it's been all kinds of governors and all kinds of people, but God is going to have a religious government that's not going to be this Catholic Antichrist sort of thing, and I know all of this is a forerunner of it. But according to the Word of God, there's going to be a restoration when there will be governors, when there will be judges, and when there will be sheriffs, and when there will be those that are righteous and holy, that will come out of Zion. That's right. John said after that great fight over there, when he saw that man come down, whose name was the Word of God riding upon that white horse with the many crowns, he said after this, he said, I looked, and I saw thrones. He said, and to these that sat upon the throne was given dominion, that they should rule the nation with a rod of iron for 1,000 years.
Amen.
That's right. After the 1,000 years was expired, he said, then I saw Satan, who had been bound during this great millennium. He was loose for a little season.
Amen.
And he came up and he went out to deceive the nations into the four corners of the earth. And they came up upon the breast of the earth. and compassed the beloved city round and about. Then the Bible said, and fire came down from out of heaven and devoured them. Then John said he saw the sea give up its dead. He saw hell deliver up its dead. And he said, hell. And all of the dead were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. It is that I saw the great white throne of judgment coming down from God.
Amen.
I saw them all stand before God. He said, and then I saw a face from whom the whole world fled away. The mountains fled away and there was no place for them. That earth fled away and there was no place for it. There was no place found. He said, then I saw a new heaven and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And he said, I saw that holy city, New Jerusalem, preparing the bride adorned for her husband.
Amen.
Coming down out of heaven.
Amen.
Sitting down upon the new earth.
That's right.
Walls were like jasper, as clear as crystal.
Amen.
What a beautiful sight it must have been. Why? Because he said, I will restore, saith the Lord. How does he feel about us tonight? His will is good toward us now.
Amen.
Listen, folks. Satan is the author of confusion. All the trouble you see in the elements, all the trouble you see on the battlefield. You say, Brother Pike, God creates the good and evil and has his way in both. I know he created the good and evil. The Bible said he created the good and evil. When he made Lucifer, he made him upright. But he failed from his state. He made him upright. And the Bible said he creates the good. He has his way in both. I know that when the storm goes by, he has his way in it. That's right. The Bible said he created the wicked for the day of judgment. That's right. He created the wicked for the day of judgment. The writer said these are brute beasts made to be taken and burned.
Amen.
These are brute beasts. But the thing is, God doesn't cause turmoil of wars, and he doesn't cause turmoil of tornadoes. He doesn't cause sickness, you say, but the Bible said God afflicts, God smites, and God binds up. I know that. I know he does, but he said, I do not smite willingly. I do not smite willingly. He said he repented over the evils that he started to do to Israel many times. Why? Who brings the evil? Somebody said God does the evil. The Bible said every good and perfect gift comes from God. Somebody said, but God brings the evil. Don't you remember over there when Ahab was going out to battle and the Lord looked around through the heavens and he said, who will go down there and deceive him? And the Bible said an evil spirit came forth and said, I'll go. He said, go and prevail. Don't you know when Job was afflicted, Satan stepped up there and said, there he is, let me afflict him. God said, go. There was a reason. We can't go into it all tonight, but there was a reason. I mentioned here the other night about Job's wicked children. You remember how that God had to deal with them and knew it was going to break Job's heart. Because it got beyond Job's prayers. They wasn't under his control anymore. They were on their own. And I said here the other night, he knew that if he smote those children, then that was the apple of his eye. What else could he do to him that would hurt him any worse? So he decided just to smite everything he had, turn Satan loose on him once and for all, since he had to turn him loose on his children. Turn him loose once and for all on Job and then get rid of Satan. And the Bible said he done just as after that. He gave him daughters that was the most beautiful in the land after that. The Bible said in the end he was richer than he ever was. Satan didn't come around to bother him anymore. The Bible said not to give place to the devil. How many of you know we can give place to the devil? You can give place to the devil. You can sit on those benches and give place to the devil. You can be in your home and give place to the devil. You can be riding down the road and give place to the devil. I know a man over in Alabama, he wouldn't even drink coffee. He wouldn't buy nothing in a store on Sunday. And I was over there trying to preach just because I had to get something to eat on Sunday because I didn't have nothing else. He wasn't even satisfied with that. When the Bible said David went and took the shoe bread because he was hungry, wasn't even held guilty.
Right.
And the Bible said the apostles passed through the fields and plucked the ears of corn, and God didn't hold them
Amen.
Accountable because they were hungry. Is that right? That if a man still to satisfy his soul, I followed the same man. One day I was in the car with him, got down in the city over in Alabama there, one of the cities, and he pulled up behind the car, and because the car's got in his way, he literally blew his top.
that strayed into that, slaughtered a camel. Strayed into that, slaughtered a camel. See, he was so religious when it come to natural ordinance like the Jews were under the law, but when it come to having the Spirit of God, he didn't even have no control over his spirit. You love it?
Amen.
Let's all stand together.